Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
We are here.
We really are. It's June 12th. There, I just proved it.
Bam.
I mean, it's June 16th.
If you're
listening
the
on
future.
Sunday night. That's right. Which, by the way, if you're listening Sunday night, how was the birthday bash? Was it amazing? I can't wait to experience it. I hope you enjoyed it.
Man,
it's coming up.
Birthday bash.
This Friday night, House of Heroes Come Win, going to be playing Your Domain.
Fun times.
Your dojo, if you will. Yeah, it's your dojo. It's your domain.
My dojo?
Yeah.
My dojmain.
Yeah, your dojmain. Because that's where you teach.
Cool.
I was talking about the disciplines, you know, like church disciplines and not church disciplines,
like
but like spiritual disciplines. How, you know, I'm reading this book right now called Celebration of Discipline.
It's like the
basic disciplines of a Christian and one of, you know, like worship and fasting and all these things.
Oh.
And I was thinking there should be like a series where it's like Enter the Dragon or something. And you just go over the disciplines, the different disciplines. Because the very first one in the book was meditation and how it's become this weird Eastern thing and how, you know, in the first century, you didn't have to teach people how to worship or how to fast or how to meditate because it was so ingrained in their culture because that's what they did. It was an outpouring of their love for their God. But now it's so foreign that you have to hold everybody's hand and say, you know, this is how you worship. Yes, this is okay. No, you know.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Strange.
Right?
Strange times.
Anyways. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. You were gone last week?
I was. I was at Mumford & Sons.
You were.
It was fun.
I'm not going to lie. You know, beforehand it was like the, hey, I saw him at Red Rock so everybody else can go. It's cool. And then afterwards everybody came back with their amazing experiences and Bruce Springsteen and all that cool stuff. And it was like, man, you guys were like 18 feet away from Mumford. I really wish I would have been there with
you. We got really close. We had to stand in line for 3 hours, though, in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah. True story. So, I did not have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Man, and also you got to see the Red Rock show. That's like where, like, they have a video that came from that. They have a CD that was released from that. I mean, they have a lot of special stuff that came from that show. To say you saw that one is really cool.
Yeah, that was fun. And, dude, you guys saw him at the right time. Pray for their bassist. Did you hear about that?
Uh-uh. Oh, yeah, he got...
Dude, like, emergency
blood clot or something,
brain
right?
surgery. He had, like, blood clot in his brain, and they had to cancel some shows, and, unreal.
It's insane.
They posted it on their website yesterday and to their Facebook, to all their fans. They were really bummed. They didn't cancel, they postponed. They're coming back. It's like Dallas, New Orleans, some great cities that they had to postpone, but, yeah. Man. Their bass player.
Dude.
Brain blood
it's
clot.
Insane, man. You got a mustache again. Where'd that come from? You steal it from some guy who was like creeping on kids?
It's amazing. Yesterday I went to Square Root to get my hair did. And Dave Gatt, he's one of the owners and a bro. He was rocking the hair and then he was like, you know what, man? I got to be honest. I don't like creeper stashes, but you rock it well. So is it cool if I shave your face? And he did. So he not only cut my hair, but my face as well. But not in like a painful, ow, dude, why'd you just cut me kind of way.
Did he do it like legit, like straight razor shave?
No,
he did the.
So then I went home and walked in the door and I said, ah? And Chrissy looked at me and said, no. And walked upstairs. And that was the last I saw her yesterday. So, yeah. I slept on the couch. No, not really.
Steve-O's mustache, scaring away kids and women since 1986.
Pretty much, except I wish in 1986 I could have grown a mustache, because I would have gotten picked on a lot less growing up if I was like, hey, man, you don't mess with a mustache.
Either that or you get picked on a lot more, like little kid with a mustache.
Freaky 7-year-old with a mustache.
Yeah, little creeper kid.
505-338-3700, the phone number. We're just so excited. We haven't seen each other in a while, so it's good to catch up. We can catch up later. I guess we should probably get to this here show. It is our one-hour call-in show centered around you, your questions, your thoughts. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com, or if you'd be so bold as to give us a call like this one, 505-338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Can't complain.
All right. Well, this past month, I always heard forgiveness, but I never truly realized how hard forgiveness is when adultery is in a marriage. So my question, the story is, my wife committed adultery, and by the grace of God, I've been able to look past it. It was before we came to Christ. It was before we believed in God, but we weren't a Christian.
Right.
My question is, this guy, I know him. I'm not personal with him, but I know of him. I see him on the social networks, and he does have a girlfriend. And he posts stuff, me and my babe, me and my girlfriend, this, etc. How do I respond to that? Is there something I need to do? The human in me wants to, you know, come at him, but the Christian in me wants to forgive him.
Right.
But at the same time, if I forgive him, I feel like, is there any obligation I have to his girlfriend because he cheated on his girlfriend as well?
Right. Man, this is a fantastic question.
Yeah.
I think of one, let me ask you this. Do you happen to know, I know you said you only know him through like social media. Do you happen to know if this dude's a believer?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
She was a mutual friend. I've met him. I've seen him. I've hung out with him, but nothing. I don't have his number. I don't have anything like personal basis.
Right. Because obviously it's heavy on your heart. You've got the man. Do I forgive or do I? Because it's to me, it's a completely different realm of if this dude calls himself a believer and going to the brother that has wronged you. Because in my, this is just opinion now, but going, if you went to that dude and said, hey, here it is. My wife and I, you know, we've reconciled the situation. We know, blah, 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 blah. And you in turn forgive him because you have been forgiven by Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What a.
Yeah.
It could be the most phenomenal testimony to smack that dude in the face, in a sense, and draw him into a right relationship.
Yeah, don't literally
with Jesus
smack
Christ.
That dude in the face.
No. Let God do that. However, I mean, just think about what a powerful testimony of God's forgiveness and God's grace. I recently was hanging out with some friends, and one of them was telling a story about a friend of hers who was in a car accident that was very damaging, that, damaging to a point where it was like physical therapy and had to relearn some basic motor skills. And in the courtroom, this drunk driver, who didn't know the Lord, obviously, was sitting there, and this person who was hit, she stood up to speak, and in the courtroom right there, preached the gospel essentially and forgave this man for what he did, for the damage that he did to her physically, mentally, because she has been forgiven so much by her Lord Jesus Christ. And in turn, like, blew away an entire courtroom of people because she was able to show the forgiveness of Christ to not just this guy who hit her as a drunk driver, but to an entire courtroom. And I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind was how incredible of a testimony could it be, especially if you said, you know, your wife and you are reconciled because of what God has done. By the grace of God, your marriage has been restored. And man, I hate to say excited, but I mean, it was just like, wow, what a place you are in right now.
Yeah, this is what I would say. I mean, you don't have any obligation, I would say this.
Right.
There's no obligation for you to go find this guy. There's no obligation for you to try to contact this guy on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything like that. There's no obligation, but there is some incredible fruit to be seen in this situation. And that's what Steve-O said. You know, if you went to this guy, if he's not a believer, even if he is a believer, and just told him, hey, I want to let you know, even though you haven't asked for it, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I forgive you for what you did because Jesus Christ forgave me. And, I mean, that could be a huge, incredible testimony placed on your life. And really what that is, that's denying the natural man and submitting to the Spirit. You know, the natural man, you know, we're right there with you. We'd want to go punch the guy in the face.
Yeah.
We'd want to hit him in the kneecaps with a baseball bat.
Right.
That's the natural man. But the Holy Spirit and the life that we're supposed to live through Christ says, find this guy and bless him. Bless those who curse you. You know, if your neighbor slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek. If he takes your coat, give him your shirt as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the spiritual man says to do. So it really is a series of denying yourself, really spending some time praying and figuring out what you should do. If you should just, you know, leave it be and not seek this guy out, not attempt to talk to him, or if you should go to him and let him know.
Now, I would also say in that, absolutely seek the Lord in this, pray, fast, dig into the word, because it's one of those situations where, let's say you go to him in forgiveness, because this is a very difficult thing. You go to him in forgiveness and then like 3 weeks later change your mind. You know what I mean? Like kind of live with it. When you go to him and forgive and speak out and say, you know what, I forgive you because I am forgiven, that it has to die there. You have to let that go, because, you know, the worst thing you could do is say, hey, man, I forgive you because Christ forgave me. And then 3 weeks later, go back and say, you know what? Screw that, man. I want to kill this guy, you know, and undo everything that you had done. So it's definitely a time to go before God, draw close to him and see what he has. Because as Nate said, you're not obligated, but what an incredible testimony this could be.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So just to recap what you guys said, I shouldn't go out of my way to find him, but he is a mutual friend. So if I see him around, I'll be able to tell him about just what Christ has done for me and the sheer love of that.
And I would say even with that, you're not obligated to go out of your way to find him.
Right.
Does that mean you can't? No. You know, if the Lord places on your heart to go out of your way to find him, do it.
Yeah.
But do it for the purpose of telling him that you forgive him.
Yeah.
Okay, and I should leave the whole he's in a relationship as well. Should I just leave that alone?
I would say this: the only reason why they're not married, they're dating. You don't know how serious they are. If they were married, it might be another thing. But even there, it's almost something you want. Like, we always encourage people to tell your wife or tell your own husband there's been infidelity. When you have someone, oh, so-and-so told me that you cheated on me. It's like, it just becomes very, it becomes very like recess in the playground, schoolyard politics, and it becomes very weird. So, I don't think you're obligated to go find this guy's girlfriend and tell his girlfriend that, hey, your boyfriend cheated on my wife. You know, cheated on you with my wife and we're both damaged, you know, like it just becomes weird. You know, it's a conflict of interest there. So, I'd say that you shouldn't do that, but, by all means, if you desire to seek him out or if the Lord places that in your heart, do so and tell him that you've forgiven him.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much.
Right.
You're welcome,
man. Thanks for the
call. We'll be praying for you. God bless, bro.
God bless. Have a good day.
You too. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's a way to start off Shock Therapy Live.
That's a great question.
That was a phenomenal question. 505-338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so as well. Studio at mystaticradio.com. It's been a week since we've done the show, and so we have a few from a couple weeks ago, from last week, and so we can get to some of these email questions. You want to take one?
Yeah, we've got one that says, I lead the youth, and my dad's the pastor.
Okay.
I've told him that I feel like it's time for me to stop, but he always says he needs me to stay, and he does because I don't know of anyone who can step in. The problem is that my personal life is starting to fall apart, and I don't know how to express it so that he understands. How do I help him to understand that I need to step down as a spiritual leader for the time being? You know, the biggest thing that I think about, and if your dad's a pastor, he should know this. The Bible says, let not many of you become teachers, because of the stricter judgment. We're also given the list of qualifications for deacons and for pastors within the Bible. And if you feel like your personal life right now isn't meeting of those requirements, and that's something very serious, and that's something you do need to talk to your dad about. And as a pastor, he should understand that, and he should realize, that the danger of someone who is not qualified within their personal life to be in ministry at the time, it's great. greater damage for them to be in the ministry than for them to be out of the ministry. So I think you just need to go and I would just say be brutally honest with your dad. I'd just go to him and say, hey, Dad, there's a lot of stuff going on in my personal life right now that leaves me in a place where I don't feel qualified to be in ministry. So I just need to step down. I know it's going to be hard to find someone else, but I think that's what needs to happen for the good of the ministry.
And if it's – okay, let's – if this is, you know, what God has – I feel like God would provide somebody, right? Or am I kidding myself?
No,
this?
Totally.
Because I think a lot of times – I heard a great message from James McDonald last week. He was talking about this very thing, how a lot of times we tend to think of ourselves as valuable to God when really we're valued by God, but we're not necessarily valuable. Like, oh, but I'm needed. I'm so necessary in this ministry. If I don't do this, everything's going to fall apart without me. And that's not necessarily the case. And so, yeah, it's your pops too. I feel like, I mean, okay, was there ever a time in your life, Pastor Nate Heitzig, son of Skip Heitzig, where you were like, dude, this is a burden. This is too much. I need to take it to my pops and talk to him because I'm just kind of struggling or I'm frustrated in ministry or I just don't feel like where I'm supposed to be. Has that ever been?
Yeah. I mean, there's always times where you go through, you know, bouts of feeling like, man, is this really what God's called me to do? Or is this really where I need to be? And so, you know, there's been those times within my life and I found that my dad is one of the most understanding people about things like that because of being in the ministry. You know, he knows the pressures that it takes. He knows how it can affect your personal life. He knows all that. So he's very open to that and he's very, you know, understanding of that. And I imagine your dad as well, if he's in the ministry, listener who wrote this question in, that he's very understanding of that, or he should be because he's in the ministry. And I think again, if you're feeling like you don't belong in ministry, then that's a serious thing. And that's a feeling that you need to act upon.
Absolutely. So. There you go. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Yeah. You can also email in anonymously, studio@mystaticradio.com. We're up against our first break, but, coming right back on line one, we have a very, important question that we will get to in regards to marriage relationships and bringing in a third. So we'll talk about that on the way back. It is Shock Therapy Live.
Voulez vous coucher avec moi?
Static Radio. Quoi? Static Radio's turning 2 years old.
And we're throwing a birthday party.
A shindig.
A fiesta.
We're going to have piñatas and a mariachi band.
If by mariachi you mean House of Heroes.
Friday, June 14th at the Lobo Theater.
With House of Heroes and special guest, Come Win.
Get your invitation now at mystaticradio.com.
Tickets are only $15.
Or 2 for $30.
Or you can get that family four-pack for $60.
Great math. It's Static Radio's second birthday party featuring Come Win and House of Heroes.
Invitations and details at mystaticradio.com.
The School of Ministry is now accepting applications for the 2013-2014 school year. If you are interested, you have 3 opportunities to join us to hear more information about the school. You can join us on Tuesday, May 28th, Tuesday, June 18th, or Tuesday, July 15th for a School of Ministry information night at 6 p.m. in the Hub on the campus of Calvary of Albuquerque. Director of the School of Ministry, Dr. Nelson Walker, will be there to answer any questions. No reservations needed. For more information, please call 505-344-4418. Again, that number, 505-344-4418.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Oh, man, it's about to get gross up in here.
Shock
if you've
Therapy
got kids,
Live.
If you've got kids, put those earmuffs on.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good disclaimer, actually. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@mystaticradio.com. Taking it out to line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good stress. I don't know how to handle this.
Yeah.
We just got a little taste of your question on our teleprompter, and it's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So I have these two friends. One of them's kind of like a sister, like really close. I've known her for years. They got married. They say they're Christians. They were going to get a divorce. They, you know, I talked to her and I was like, you know, what's the reason you guys are getting divorced? And it was all based on infidelity. He cheated on her numerous times. I said, you know, pray on it. See what God says to your heart. So she says she prayed on it, and now there's this third man in the relationship, and they're both dating him. Worst part is they have a two-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how to handle it because they're raising their kid around it, and, like, their son is kind of like a nephew to me.
Yeah. So is this dude, is the husband then homosexual if he's dating this dude as well?
Yeah, so when I was talking to her about it, she said that he's gay, but he's apparently slept with other women. So now they're both dating him, and it's just like a giant mess. So I was talking to my fiance about it, seeing what she had to say, and she was like, I don't even know how to handle something like that.
Yeah,
her mind exploded.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, their relationship and their lives are as far from a Christian relationship as you can possibly get.
Right.
You're talking about a dude who is gay, who sleeps with other women and other dudes, who's dating another dude with his wife, who's also dating that other dude. I mean, when you just phrase it, it's like, wait a second, and you call yourselves Christians?
Yeah, I don't understand how they can reconcile any of that lifestyle
with the Bible.
God's word.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. So, right. I mean, if you're close enough, it sounds like you're very close to them. She says she prayed about it, and it was this one of those, hey, God told me how to fix it. We're getting a third.
And it's a dude.
She's like, well, there's the Holy Trinity, right? So that makes sense. So in marriage, right?
Except the Holy Trinity don't have sex with each other.
Right. This is true. This is very, very true. So I'm just trying to think of how any human being can fathomably say, like, no, this is God's will for my life. He told me we need a third. It just doesn't work for me.
Right, and she was like, well, in the Bible, there was people who had concubines and multiple wives. I was like, yeah, but all those people, like, had really horrible relationships. Like, what, Jacob had Rachel and Leah, and they bid over him, and I can imagine what that was like.
Yeah, exactly. But,
you know, I mean, it's just... I'm like, you see these, like, people who in the Bible who have multiple marriages. I told them, I'm like, they weren't like, you know, God was like, you know, I'm going to work through this, but you got to imagine, were they really happy?
That was a totally different culture and time. Do they live here in New Mexico?
Yeah.
I mean, because they're saying multiple wives. Are they going to try and bring this third in and marry? Because that's actually against the law. You can't marry multiple people. You can't be married to more than one person.
Right, and the other thing I told him too, I was like, well, I mean, are you sure it's God talking to you and not some, you know, something else? I mean, because this is not in the Bible.
Right.
I mean, I don't see how this is a godly relationship, especially when you have a kid.
You know, if she's trying to say that it's okay to bring a third in, then I'd take it from the scenario, first of all, of the fact that homosexuality is wrong.
Right.
Because the Bible talks in numerous places about the wrongs of homosexuality.
Yeah.
The Bible also talks, when it talks about marriage, it talks about a husband and a wife.
Right.
Not one man, one woman.
Not
two husbands and a wife.
Right.
Not a husband and two wives. Not like a husband and a wife, and then like a mutual husband because the dude's gay. You know, it doesn't talk about these weird things that we try to say, oh, it's okay, it's natural. No, it's not natural.
Right.
It's not natural at all. So it's completely against what the Bible says.
Right.
And so really, they need to decide if they want to call themselves Christians or if they want to have this relationship, because the two are mutually exclusive in this situation.
Absolutely. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. And that's it's just flat out adulterous. It's just, it's sinful, it's wrong. It is not biblical to try and say, oh yeah, but, you know, in the Old Testament, Jacob had multiple wives, or in the Old Testament, that was a completely different time, a completely different culture. It's so far removed from now that I couldn't fathom reconciling being a Christian.
Yeah, and even when we talk about the qualifications for a pastor, one of the qualifications is a husband of one wife.
Right.
And so we see this mutual exclusivity that's supposed to be within the marriage bed.
Right.
Where there's not supposed to be another invited into the marriage bed, into the, you know, so it's just a really crazy situation. I haven't heard of a Christian couple trying to do this.
Right.
It's very strange.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the hard parts is the reason why marriage is held in such high honor and the marriage bed should be undefiled, and the reason that it speaks to one man and one woman, that relationship between a husband and wife is the example of Christ to the church, or at least it should be. And so that would be like saying, you know, Christ loves the church, and the church loves Christ, but the church also loves this, and that becomes idolatry because you're bringing in multiple quote unquote gods or whatever it is you're wanting to do. So, I mean, this is idolatrous. This is adulterous. This is not biblical in any way.
Yeah. Because again, like where Steve was using this concept, this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 3-4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Adultery is considered sleeping with a person outside of your husband or wife.
Right.
So with them dating this other guy, having this relationship with the other guy, that's fornication and adultery, and that's something that God will judge. So they are defiling their marriage by doing this.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What should be done, though? They have, like, a little kid. I mean, me and my fiance are talking about, like, you know, we would call CYFT if it wasn't, you know, I mean, it's not like they're bad. It's just, I don't know.
They're being morally irresponsible. But I don't know that CYFD would say, oh, yeah, we got to take that kid away because there's a freaky situation.
Right. No,
they're adopting to homosexuals and lesbian couples all the time. It's not like a, you know what I mean? That's
yeah,
a moral.
But at the same time, our nation is in a tumultuous crisis with this whole situation right now. And it is something that possibly, you know, if a moral rights activist got onto it, and kind of, you know, it could be something that, you know, the kid could be taken away. This is what I would do. If the Lord's laid that on your heart, I'd talk to a Christian lawyer about it and say, what do you think the options
are? Call Jay Sekulow.
Because, well, this is why, honestly, that kid should not be raised in that home.
Right.
He shouldn't.
No, yeah.
And I would be, if the law could help you get that kid out of that home. If let's say you and your fiance said we want to adopt this kid, I wouldn't say that this kid should be, you know, taken out of the home and put into the foster care system, because that will, you know, that's
yeah, there's all kinds of problems there.
Yeah, you don't know who he could get adopted by a gay couple. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But if you and your wife, for instance, said we want to adopt him or something like that, I don't know, it'd be worth looking into.
Are they in fellowship anywhere? You said they call themselves Christians, but I mean, anybody can say, hey, I'm a Christian. Do they go to church? Are they in fellowship?
No.
No.
They sit at home and read the Bible, and I think they cherry pick it. Like, they take bits and pieces that they like. They're like, oh, we like this, and oh, we like that, and oh, this works for us. And I, like, really, it seems like they're just cherry picking the Bible. And before, like, I started getting in my fellowship, I used to do that. And I was like, oh, well, that's not the case.
Right.
You know, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, okay.
I was just hoping for some pastoral leadership who could, like, speak wisdom into them, but I guess not.
So I have one other question. So we have a lot of friends that are not Christians, right? And we were looking at a way to sharing, like, God's message, like the gospel during our wedding. Is there a way to do that?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. In fact, most weddings I go to, it is, you know. Are you in fellowship somewhere?
Yeah, I go to Calvary.
Okay.
So I go to the men's, Bible study on Wednesdays, and then I go to Expound and then service on Sundays.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, I'm doing a wedding right now where the couple has asked me to share the gospel at the wedding, and the big thing that I'll use when I do that, for instance, is I'll use what Ephesians says: husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, and then that opens up a huge springboard to say, you know, Paul tells us here to love our wives like Christ loves the church. Christ loved the church so much that he sent himself to die for the sins of the church.
Yeah.
And so it can really springboard into this message of the gospel. And then I usually share one thing. I'll say, you know, the couple has asked me today to share with you the most important decision they've ever made. Today they're not just marrying one another. They're inviting God into their relationship, and they're marrying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to invite you to make the same decision with your life. It's the best decision they've ever made, and they want to make sure that before you leave here, you have the opportunity to make the same decision. And there's a marriage feast that's happening today, and you're invited to that marriage feast. It's the marriage feast of the Lamb, and Jesus Christ wants a relationship with you, and he wants to love you. So you know, you can really springboard into it really well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, man.
You're welcome.
You all have a good day.
You
God
too.
God bless, man.
God bless you too. 505-338-3700. You know, in the past, you and I have always talked about being unshockable listeners and how, like, it's kind of unshockable at this point.
Yeah.
That was a little shocking. It still happens.
Very interesting.
505-338-3700 is the phone number if you would like to ask a question in on Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, we understand there's a lot of interesting thoughts, ideas, questions, relationships, and we'll take those anonymously at our websites. You could do so by emailing us, studio@mystaticradio.com. You want to take this next email question?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Ooh. I just had a burpee. Hey, I don't care if you don't keep me anonymous.
Okay.
I have a question on texting and messaging girls. One of my youth leaders from high school group told me that I can message or text girls.
Can't.
Oh, that I can't message or text girls, but I know where I am with the girls that I talk to, and it's not just some random girl. Thanks.
Okay.
David Ferris.
Oh, thanks, David. Told you can't text or message girls.
Okay. What kind of texting and messaging are you doing?
I know. If it's like, hey, bro, the movie's at 7. See you at 6:30?
Yeah. But if it's like, hey.
Hey, girl, what are you wearing?
Yeah. Yeah. How you feeling? Like, things like, I don't know. Yeah. It's, you shouldn't, like, sext girls.
There you go.
That's true.
Okay.
But should you not talk to girls? That's like, that would
ever?
Be like, hey. You can't. I know there's going to be a girl here. You can't talk to her.
Don't even look her in the eye.
Don't look at her.
Especially the eye.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems really weird to me. I would have to know more information on what kind of messaging and what kind of texting you're doing for your youth leader to come to you and tell you can't do that anymore.
Can't message or text girls. I don't know. Unless, here's the thing. Maybe the youth leader is privy to some information that we obviously aren't and that David's not sharing and saying, maybe David confessed to something. Maybe he's struggling with a high school boy issue.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. And, he was like, okay, well, what's the deal? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, hey, maybe you shouldn't text or message these girls then if that's going to lead to, you never know. So we don't know the situation. So it'd be tough to say, oh yeah, dude, text and message all day long. If your youth leader who knows the situation better than us possibly is saying that, then maybe there's wisdom in it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, you know, I know in our youth group we've had before a guy who was texting, messaging, and kind of following a lot of different girls. And he had kind of an obsessive compulsive behavior. And he was texting at odd hours of the night, and it was just unhealthy.
Yeah.
And so we came to him at the request of the girl's parents and told them, you need to stop texting. You need to stop calling. You need to stop following these girls because it became obsessive compulsive and it was starting to scare them.
And who knows, maybe your high school youth leader is saving you, because I'll tell you what right now, if I was the father of that daughter and that was going on, it was very good that the youth leaders went to that youth instead of, say, the father, because that could have been a very scary situation.
Yeah, I'd take those texting thumbs away.
Yeah, bro. For real! It's better to lose those thumbs than your whole body be thrown into hell.
Yeah.
Over sexting?
Strange.
That's not biblical.
Yeah.
I think I might have confused some stuff.
If you
there,
send my daughter a picture of yourself, I will cut it off.
Yeah, there you go. Thumbs. Shock Therapy Live, hello! Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I appreciate everything you're saying about one husband, one wife. I did have a question, though, because I do understand and really respect the covenants that we make with God when we get married.
Yeah.
And if we make a covenant with God like that, and then we're to end up in a situation where that covenant was broken from our side of things, does that relieve us from that covenant, or does God still see us married to an original spouse? And so then if you go to get remarried, are you actually, I've seen scriptures where Christ himself even mentions, you know, a man that's divorced marrying another woman causes that other woman to be
right.
in adultery.
Yeah, exactly. It completely depends on the way in which the marriage covenant was broken.
Right, yes. Is the question like, hey, I was married in the past, my wife committed adultery, we are no longer married, may I remarry? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I understand your question, and it is to an extent, but that kind of seems, I don't even know if that's the major point, you know, behind it is we've made an original covenant with God.
Yeah.
That covenant's broken. Does God still expect that covenant to be honored? And then as a single, and then as a divorced man, I am either forced to be single or reconcile with my ex-wife.
Yes. Yes and no to your question. This is what I mean by that. God will always see, unless that marriage covenant was broken by adultery. So unless, like, for instance, let's say you're married to this woman and she commits adultery on you, that's the only provision the Bible gives for divorce. If the marriage was broken by...
I do have a question about that, though, because what if I committed adultery?
And your wife said, hey, sorry, I can't forgive you, peace out, and divorced you?
Correct.
Okay. Are you allowed to remarry? Is that what you're asking?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Is that issue of adultery really even the deciding factor?
Was it a deciding factor?
No, is it? Because when Christ talks about that, when they ask him, you know, when the religious leaders are trying to trick him, and they ask him if divorce is permissible, and he goes back into Genesis and then continues to talk about
Matthew chapter 5.
If adultery has entered the situation, but he never identifies which party commits the adultery.
Right.
And I always come back to this exact same point with this topic is, you know, and many pastors have asked me, oh, well, if there's adultery in the situation, then you're free. Well, I don't think that Jesus is going to let me commit adultery and then let me off the hook.
You know, here's the thing. Questions like this are really difficult to answer because the Bible doesn't go into great detail regarding the various scenarios for remarriage after divorce. And this is the reason why. Oftentimes in the Jewish culture, when there was adultery, the person was stoned. You know, there wasn't divorce. If you divorced a lot of times in biblical culture, pretty much only the man could divorce in biblical culture. If the woman divorced the man, the woman would be stoned. You know, so we're dealing with a lot of things that are happening within biblical culture. But what we can know for sure is that it's God's plan for a married couple to stay married as long as both spouses are alive. You know, you get that from Genesis 2:24, from Matthew 19:6. Mm-hmm. And the only specific allowance for remarriage after a divorce is for adultery, in Matthew 19:9, if you want to read that. But even this topic, it's really debated among a lot of Christians because another possibility is desertion, where an unbelieving spouse leaves a believing spouse.
Right.
You know, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12 through 15. So, you know, this passage, although it doesn't specifically address remarriage, only being bound to stay in a marriage, it would also seem that physical, sexual, or severe emotional abuse would be a sufficient cause for a divorce and possibly remarriage. But the thing is, the Bible doesn't specifically teach this. So it's a tough topic because you're dealing with a lot of things within this topic of reading between the lines. And
what my hindrance is I've been very active in all the churches I've ever gone to my whole life, in missions, in children's ministry, in music ministry. And since this divorce, I have, you know, started another relationship. I have tried many counseling alternatives and things with my ex-wife. But I feel like I'm kind of excommunicated from serving the church because I'm in this other relationship that even if it goes the appropriate way, you know, as many people see it, that I'm still causing her to end up in an adulterous relationship.
Let me ask you this question. I hate to cut you off, but I want to ask you this question, man. Okay. You were married. You committed adultery. The marriage ended. Did the marriage end on your account or your wife not being able to forgive you and your wife divorcing you and walking away? So she chose to divorce you and say, look, bro, I can't forgive this. I'm done. This is biblical. I'm peacing out. Right?
Right.
So that
was
completely
almost 6 years ago now.
Okay. All right. Because what it sounded like was, hey, bro, I committed adultery so that I could get out of marriage. And now God said it's cool. So now I'm trying to get in this other relationship. So I wanted to be absolutely freaking clear of the situation. You were in a marriage. You committed adultery. Your wife couldn't hang. She split. And now you want to possibly remarry someone. And is that biblical? Is that okay for you to do that? That's what you're asking.
Perfect. You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I appreciate your guys' time. And I know that it probably relates to a lot of people. And I just feel heartbroken not being able to be a part of a congregation right now because of this issue.
Totally. You know, and this is what I would say. You know, in this whole topic, there's two things that we know for sure. Number one, God hates divorce.
Yeah.
And that's Malachi 2:16. But we also know this. God is merciful and forgiving.
Yeah.
And every divorce is a result of sin. But God also forgives sin.
Right.
So does God forgive divorce? Absolutely. You know, I think that a lot of times we can look at this and say, well, divorce is the unpardonable sin and it automatically like disqualifies me from ever going to a church or ever serving or ever getting married again. I don't think that's the case, necessarily. Now, I think it really depends on the heart issue of the person. You know, I think in your original question, you said you were to the young believers at this time. And I would maybe even go further and ask, when you committed this infidelity with your wife, if you really looked at your heart, do you believe you were really a believer? Or do you believe you were just maybe saying you were a believer, but your life wasn't really walking with God? Because it sounds to me like
I'm confident that we were both believers.
Okay.
And baptized in the Holy Spirit and all that confirmation that goes with that.
Okay.
You know, and life just wrecked us.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But would you say that over the past 6 years, God's done your, I would assume, let me say this. Do you think you're the same person today that you were then?
No. Okay. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Is your wife wanting to reconcile? Is that why you're kind of caught up in the worriedness of it? You know,
No, absolutely not.
What are you doing? What are you freaking out? I'm sorry.
Well, I have a beautiful girlfriend that actually have a young child together, and I want to get married.
So you guys are sexually active in your girlfriend.
I don't want to be in this like permanent situation of adultery.
So, but here's the thing.
Does that mean
sexually active with your girlfriend?
Exactly.
Okay,
and
so you're committing fornication.
Water that down.
Okay.
I know I'm not trying to water that down at all.
Okay. So you got divorced from a relationship and now you're in another sinful relationship and you want to know if it's okay to marry the girl that you're in a sinful relationship with right now.
To make it a right relationship in God's eyes, if that's even possible.
Let me tell you this. That's not how to make it right in God's eyes. The way to make a sinful relationship right isn't to say, oh, well, let's make what we're doing, the sin that we're committing, not sin. The proper way, if you really want to make things right, you really want to, you know, you really want to have this relationship go the right way, then what you need to do is you need to abstain from sexual immorality for a time.
Yeah.
You guys need to, you know, you have a kid together. So, and I want you to know, this isn't just something we would ask you to do. I've seen couples actually do this and God really blesses it. Separate for a time, where you guys aren't living together. You guys aren't being sexually active. And then, you know, go through a time of premarital counseling, go through at a time where you're going through, counseling with a pastor, and then work towards this place, of having a right standing relationship before God. Because this is what, just so you know, from a pastor's perspective, and I can understand why a pastor would say, man, you're not fit to serve. Because right now, if you came to my church and asked to serve, I'd say you're not fit to serve. Because
and that's why I don't volunteer.
Yeah.
I understand that position.
You know, so what's happening is you're saying you're a different person from when you were then, but you're still committing sexual sin, just in a different way. When you were married, you were committing adultery. Now that you're not married, you're committing fornication. The Bible says that both are the same. The Bible says, I tell you the truth, that God judges idolaters, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals. You know, right now, the sin that you're committing with your girlfriend is viewed exactly the same as the adultery you committed against your wife when you were married to her. So
exactly. And that's what I want to avoid is God just only going to honor my original marriage covenant? And we abstain and we separate and go through the marriage counseling and then I get remarried. Am I automatically back in God's eyes? Am I marrying a second person because I've already committed that to him once?
Can God honor this second marriage covenant? I believe he can.
Yes.
Okay.
But I believe you need to do some serious heart searching, because let me just tell you something. If I was a female and I was your fiance in this situation, there is no way that right now I would marry you. And the reason why is because you have a pattern in your life of sexual sin, whether that's sleeping with another woman inside a marriage or whether that's sleeping with someone who's not your wife. And typically, not always, but typically, those kind of sexual sins repeat themselves. And as a wife, I'd have a really hard time trusting that you wouldn't down the road cheat on me with another woman who would come into the relationship because there's a pattern within your life. So I believe that personally, you need to do some serious heart searching and make sure that before you enter into another marriage covenant, that your heart is right before the Lord and that you're cleansed of this and that your heart's on the right track. And it's something that I would even sit down and talk to your fiance, you know, if you guys decide to go through with this and say, I want to apologize to you because I haven't led you the way that I'm supposed to lead you. We're in a sexual relationship. You know, I came from a marriage where I committed adultery, and I want you to know that that was wrong and that I apologize to you for that and that I want to lead you as a man of God and I don't want to cause you to sin. So, you know, if this is something you're going to do, you need to be very serious about it. You need to really do some serious soul searching.
I agree. I appreciate it so much. So what I hear you saying, and I hope this benefits a lot of listeners because we've taken a lot of time on this, but if all of that process goes through and all that that good positive relationship with my Heavenly Father through the grace and mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ, and all of that works well to go down that right and healthy path, and I do get remarried, would I be able to serve in a church again, possibly even on a staff, as a divorced and remarried man?
I know pastors
who
have divorced due to adultery and have remarried who are pastors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's pastors who have done a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
True story. True story.
Again, God can forgive that.
Yeah.
What I'm not going to do right now is give you a green card to do this because
Absolutely.
This is something that, again, I believe you have to, because there's – in this whole situation, I guarantee there's a lot more. We've talked about this for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. There's probably hours of conversation that need to go into this before a pastor can decide, yes, you're eligible to one, get remarried, and two, to serve. So that's something that I'm not going to give you the green card so that down the road you could tell a pastor, well, you know, I told this pastor on a call-in show, and he said that I could serve and that I could get remarried because I don't know all the deep details in this. If everything from what you're saying were to go in a perfect scenario in a perfect world, then yes, you could be eligible to get married again. God could honor that new covenant, and you could eventually someday serve at a church, maybe even on a staff. But that's in a perfect scenario with everything going the way that it should and no other gray details that we don't know about within this situation.
A lot of faithfulness,
So it's something that really,
I appreciate it,
that question needs to be ultimately asked, man, with a pastor. When you guys sit down, when you and your fiance, if you guys decide to get married, you decide to abstain from sexual immorality, decide to separate for a time, if you, in this process of talking through a pastor, he's the one who really has to make that deciding factor within this relationship.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You're
so
welcome,
much.
Man.
Thanks so much for being bold with that one. That's a big one. Good question.
It's been a hard life, you know, a hard couple of years, and if I can help somebody else avoid it.
You can tell, we can hear your burden, you know what I mean? We can hear your heart, man. And so, thanks for calling in. And
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless, John.
505-338-3700, the phone number. We got about 10 minutes left to show.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing this show has really been all about marriage, infidelity. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, it really breaks my heart to look at this because we live in a culture today that Christians are no different than the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we live in a culture where we're talking about Christian relationships that are just burdened by divorce, burdened by infidelity, burdened by fornication.
Well, and it's nothing new.
Yeah.
I was listening to, like I said, that James McDonald, a message I was listening to yesterday, he was talking about the Corinthian church and Paul having to go to him and be like, hey, bro, church, that guy over there that's sleeping with his mom, not okay.
Yeah.
Was nobody going to cover this? And so to say, like, wow, dude, you know, like, it's getting worse. It's been bad.
Yeah.
it just sucks that, you know, that this is what, is happening, but it's happening. And that's exactly why Shock Therapy Live exists.
Yep.
Is so that we can have these conversations. Because let's be honest. Would John have ever gone to a pastor? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Would these email questions have ever been brought to light, or would anybody ever have found anything through them?
And,
who knows?
And now I would say this. things have always been bad, but things have progressively been getting worse.
Yes.
The divorce rate has continually risen.
Yeah.
The rate of adultery within Christian relationships has continually risen over the years. And, you know, Christian listeners, we've got to step it up. You know, the marriage relationship is the best view that the world can get of the relationship that God is supposed to have with us.
Yeah.
And by having these relationships that are falling apart, we're not just doing injustice to our marriage, but we're doing injustice to our relationship with Christ and our witness to the world.
Well said.
And so, you know, I believe that we as Christians need to step it up, especially as men, we need to step it up, myself included. I know Steve-O and I both have, you know, very heavy hearts on this topic.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something where we as Christian men, we as Christian couples, we need to step it up and be a beautiful view, a beautiful witness for the world of what a real relationship is supposed to look like. Because guys, love is not a passing emotion. Love is not something you feel certain days and other days you don't. Love is a constant devotion. And when we say I do before God and before man, we're making a promise. We're making a devotion to love that person for the rest of our lives, no matter how we feel, no matter what new hot body comes into our lives. And we say, oh man, that one really looks good. You know, doesn't matter how we feel, what we see, what happens. We're making a devotion and a promise to stay in that relationship. And so I think we need to take that more seriously.
Amen. We got to take our final break. Coming right back, we got a few email questions to get to. If you would like to email in a question, we'll try and do a rapid fire round right back.
Man, can you just imagine if God divorced us?
Ugh.
God's like, oh, you guys committed adultery on me every day. I'm divorcing you.
Right.
That's serious.
See, and that's the thankful, the at least that we can pull away from it, is that, God is so great. He is so rich in mercy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, because of his richness in mercy, you know, we have been reconciled to him, not because of us, because he loves us so much, which is why when we hear these broken relationships and we see what is going on, it's just another moment for us to thank him so much for his son and for what he has done. Not anything that you've done in your life, oh, you great human you, but what God has done in his infinite love and grace and mercy and compassion for an idiot people.
Amen.
Quick break, right back. Shock Therapy Live, Static Radio.
Challenge Men. It's a guy thing. The rally, June 21st, with Josh and Sean McDowell.
When we get to speak together, we just sometimes look at each other and just chuckle and go, wow, this is a window God has given us. It might last another week. It might last another decade. And we just have an absolute blast. Just have an absolute blast.
Don't miss Sean and Josh McDowell. Classic cars, food, music, and more. The Challenge Men's Rally, Friday night, June 21st. Calvary Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna. And of course, it's free for all.
Does archaeology back up biblical history? Here's Dr. Stephen Collins.
The Bible is an historical text that describes real geography, real cultures, real people in such an authentic way that one can take an archaeological spade, dig into the ground, and actually find direct links and confirmation of archaeology to the biblical text.
In Discovering the City of Sodom, a new book by Dr. Stephen Collins and Latane Scott, you'll journey with the authors to find the lost city of Sodom, learn how the city was found, and how the Bible made its location clear. Bolster your trust in God's Word. Get your copy of Discovering the City of Sodom book and DVD update from Dr. Collins on the dig in Sodom, the unearthing of the city gate, and the archaeological evidence for the biblical event which destroyed the city. All this for only $29 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at skipheitzig.com.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, man. Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. We have 2.5 minutes and some serious questions. Lightning round?
Yeah, I guess. We don't have to. We've got 5 minutes to get through 5 questions. I don't know if that's possible.
Okay. We'll do our best to get a couple of them. If we don't answer your question, I promise you we'll start with yours next week. Ready, go.
Yeah. Video gaming. He loves playing online games. I'm not completely opposed to gaming. I think everyone can have a hobby or an outlet that they can enjoy even for like an hour or two a day. But when he plays for more than 4 to 5 hours to the point that he is up late and then doesn't wake up for important things the next day or is wanting to be gaming while we are doing other things, I think it's clearly an issue. We've tried addressing it before and he has tried cutting back and is stuck to it overall but will inevitably be caught up in games. How does that look once you get to a marriage? It is something boys grow out of. Any advice is appreciated. Thank you.
It can be grown out of if your wife is willing to beat you over the head like Janae did for you for Warcraft and like Chrissy did for me for Warcraft.
Yeah. Man, she didn't even beat me over the head. I just had babies and I was like, I'm done.
I don't have any time for this. However, I wouldn't say, because this was coming from somebody who's engaged or wants to get married. Is that the situation? Whatever. Not married yet.
Engaged.
If this dude's playing 4 to 5 hours a day and he just has a lack of motivation, is this really the man you want to lead you?
Seriously.
Really? If that's all he's doing, he's like, yeah, babe, yeah, hold on. Just got to build up this fantasy football program. I just don't,
yeah,
I don't know.
She wrote in before, and this guy doesn't lead them spiritually. This guy like has crazy angry outbursts and it freaks her out and he plays games 4 to 5 hours
a day.
Yeah, he sounds like a keeper.
Oh yeah, he's a winner, bro.
Not.
Okay. Yeah.
Not.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I don't know. That's it for me.
I've got to use the restroom.
Okay. 4 to 5 hours a day? Are you kidding me? Like 4 to 5 hours a week tops if I could.
We used to do
that. We really did. But now looking back, if I had a time machine, I'd jump in the DeLorean, go 88 miles per hour, ding dong, hello, idiot.
Yeah,
like,
punch
I
past
want
self in the
all
face.
That time back.
I know.
I wasted so much freaking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it really came to me, like, I didn't, like, slowly play less and less. I just quit.
Yeah, that was me too.
I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done with that. I said, yes, do I still have an Xbox or something like that? Sure. Do my kids still play games and we rock it together? Sure. But I don't have the time. I don't want to devote that much time and attention to something like that that's going to just suck everything away.
Yeah. And I used to be that guy that would play till like 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up and be like, oh.
Yeah, dude.
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I just don't do that anymore.
Did we get out of it? Yes. Does it sound like a winner and somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Everything you've emailed in the past about him has been less than awesome. Doesn't sound like he's changing because this question was originally given to us at like a month or two ago, and then now we've gotten more updated from this fiance. Doesn't sound like he's improved his situation any.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Craziness.
All right, next week we will answer the other questions. We got a serious one on masturbation in marriage. We got one on sex toys. We'll answer that one as well, I promise.
Yes.
We got a bunch of questions we got to get to.
Man, we've had to answer so many questions.
If you missed any part of the show, the podcast will be available at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Thanks again to everybody.
Peace.
I am Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heisig. You're the man. People catch you tomorrow night.
Yeah, new tomorrow
series.
Night was our new series.
Matthew.
Checkmate.
Boom.
Join us.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.